ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we continue reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2. This activities of Maharaj Agnidra, and text number 7. So we're going to read from this text, and then we'll try to describe these two great Vaishnavas, Srila Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami. There is no way that describe these great personalities, being I'm just a limited conditioned soul. Somehow, if we discuss their personalities, their qualities, we'll be able to purify our hearts. And in this way, we'll be also be able to somehow get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and thereby ultimately we'll be able to relish the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and ultimately attain love of God. So text number 7. Katam chikirsa sichaking munibarya saile maya sikapi bhagavat para devataya vijye vibarsi danusi surid atmanorte kimba migan migaya se bipini pamatan. Katvam chikarasasi chakim munivarya saile maya sikapi bhagavat para devataya vijye vibarsi danusi surid atmanorte Bhamigan Migaya se bipini barmatan. Katvam chikarsa sichaking munivarya saile maya sikapi bhagavat para devataya. Vijye vivarsi danusi surid atmanorte kimbarmi ganmri gayase bipini pramatan. Katvam chikirsasi chaking muni varya saile maya sikapi bhagavat para devataya vijye vivarsi danuse suridatmanorte Bipini Pramatan. Mataji, Mataji's Somebody would like to try? Maya sikapi bhagavat para devataya. Vijay vibarsi danose suriratma norte. Kimba bhagavayase vipini pramatam. Word for word translation, please repeat after me. Ka, who, tvam, are you, chikarsasi, are you trying to do, cha, also, kim, what, munivarya, O best of munis, saile, and this hill, maya. What does Maya mean? Illusory potency. Everybody knows that. Asi, are you? Kapi, some. Bhagavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paradevataya, of the Transcendental Lord. Vijaya, without strings. Bivarshi, you are carrying. Danushi, two bows. Surit, of a friend. Atmanaha, of yourself. Arte, for the sake. Kimba, or Mrigan, forest animals. Mrigayase, are you trying to hunt? Bipine, in the forest. Pramatan, who are materially maddened. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The prince, Miss the Apsara, O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill? And what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidra, activated by the movements of Purvachiti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, kamaistaistair hritagyana, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidra, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachiti was male or female. He mistook her for a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat para devataya. Devata, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as para devata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of para devata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, mayad yakshena prakriti suyati sacharacharam. Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purvachiti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidra compared them to the bow without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows without strings, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidra could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word pramatan is also significant. Pramata refers to one who cannot control his senses. The end goal is being exploited by people who are pramata or bimudha. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Soche tato bimukta cheta sa indriyarta maya sukaya barang udbahato bimudhan. Quote, they are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Unquote. 7.9.43, Srimad Bhagavatam. These who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as pramata, bimukha, and bimudha. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is a pramata, a sane, sober person, a dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are pramata with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidra questioned Purvachiti about this. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanangyana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurung Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sibisakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta kanchana gaurange radhe vrindavanesvare visabhano sute deve prami hari priye vancha kalpatarubhyascha kipa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Siva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Katvam Chikarsasi Chakim Munabharya Saile Maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya vijye bibarsi danusi surid atmanorte kimba migam rigayase bipini pramatan. So Maharaj Adnidra here is bewildered, having in this apsara, Purbachiti. An apsara is one of the denizens of the heavenly planets. This is what you called in the heavenly planets as society girls. Their beauty is thousands and thousands and thousands more compared to the beauty of the Miss Universe of this planet Earth. It's like every year there is a contest, Miss Universe, Miss Earth, Miss International. And somehow last year from the Philippines, they took all of those thrones. If one of those ladies passed by here and having darshan, I'm sure all of you will go and have darshan of her also. But momentarily, of course, because as devotees, we know the flickering beauty of this material world. It is not permanent. So this apsara, we were discussing this for the last few verses. She is very beautiful. That anyone who will see her will be shot by Cupid's arrows immediately. A Cupid has 5 arrows. First arrow, you'll just kind of like, you know, be amazed. And gradually, second arrow, third arrow, fourth arrow, fifth arrow, you'll become like a madman. You will lose your intelligence, just like here is what's happening with Maharaj Agnidra. Cupid's arrow is so fearful that will be shot into our heart. And usually sometimes when, not sometimes, but most of the times, when a person is in a mode of passion, his heart is beating like, you know, 100 kilometers per hour. You know, this is mode of passion. Mode of goodness is not like this. Mode of goodness is calm. So when Maharaj Agnidra noticed that Purbachiti is beside, he noticed his beauty, but he cannot ascertain whether this is a boy or a girl. Just like very often also when we show the picture of Lord Krishna or Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to a person who doesn't know anything about Krishna or Lord Gauranga, they will mistakenly think that Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya is a girl. Because beauty is one of the qualities, finer qualities of the opposite sex, the woman. They are created like that to attract the men. It is not their fault. It's not the fault of the woman. On the other hand, it says that woman, except one's wife, should be treated and see and be respected like that of a mother. But for those who are mad about sense enjoyment, sense gratification, woman is always the object of their sense enjoyment. Because they will see them and they will exploit them for their own enjoyment, for their own benefit. So here, the prince is mistakenly addressing the apsara, Purvachiti, or best of saintly persons. Because one who is a saintly person, one who is in the mode of goodness, but to say of pure goodness, that person looks very beautiful. Very beautiful indeed. So he was asking, why are you on this hill and what do you do? What do you want to do? It's like a boy meets a girl. Immediately a boy will ask, what's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing here? What is your purpose? In the material world, it's like that. Correct? So, similarly, Maharaj Agnidra was also asking like this. And he was asking, are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because Maharaj Agnidra became attracted immediately, that it bewildered him, so much so that he mistakenly think that this personality is not a woman, but a man of a good quality, of good qualities, of that of a saintly person. Because one who is in the mode of goodness is very attractive. People who are in the mode of ignorance, you want to know that person, you want to be with that person, you want to as much as possible be with that person or become one like that person, whether that's a male or a female. So illusory potency, are you one of the illusory potencies, Maya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because Maya is very attractive. Even though it is temporary and ultimately gives us miseries and sufferings. This bondage in this material world is the attraction between men and women, between each other. That's why we are still here in this material world. That is what keeps us from this material world. Of course, nowadays, not just attraction between men and women, but attraction between men and men and women to women. That is natural, but that's not natural, actually. That is most unnatural. It is more natural to be attracted to the opposite sex than to be attracted to the same sex. But this is Maya. This is illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Because we identify with this body as the self. We cannot get out of this misidentification of the body as the self. That's just why Prabhupada, whenever he gives class, he will always emphasize that you are not this body. You are spirit souls. And it doesn't sink into us. We're having so much difficulty in this. That's why Prabhupada will always emphasize every class, practically. You are not the body. You are a spirit soul. And especially, as explains here in the purport, or in the verse also, why, what is the reason you're carrying these bows? You have these bows without strings. Have you seen the bows without strings? Yes, we see that everywhere. Every time we see each other. These eyebrows. This is a bow string. Of course, there's an analogy that Prabhupada gave also. Lord Krishna comes to this material world not due to karma. It's like a rainbow. Doesn't have a string on it. We come to this material world because of karma. So, we're talking about this because this is what the Bhagavatam is saying. This is not meant to put down or degrade the opposite sex or the woman. Bhagavatam is so blunt. Spade is a spade. Black is black. White is white. Doesn't discriminate. Doesn't flatter you. It's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, one who flatters you is your enemy. One who tells the truth by constructive criticism, he is your friend. He is your best friend. So the eyebrows of the woman is very... And sometimes, to make it more powerful, the woman will use some kind of nipper or clipper or whatever you call it. And they will try to design their eyebrows in such a way that they become more attractive towards the opposite sex. Yeah? If their eyebrows is a little thick, they'll make it thin. And if their eyebrows is a little crooked, they'll make it more like a rainbow or something. And especially when you and the eyebrows, you'll get captivated immediately. There's one way. I'm just telling you this, how to avoid this. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here and I have to tell you all of this. You look in between their eyebrows. In between the eye, right here. This is how you cannot be captured by the illusory potency. Especially when they talk to you and when their eyes started to difficult to explain how they do it. It's very mesmerizing, actually. Lord Krishna, whenever he would look on Srimati Radharani, only on the sideways. But he's very much focused on the face of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is also like this. Only by her sidelong glances that the Supreme Lord, who is called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, is being attracted by Madan Mohan Mohini, one who attracts the attractor of Cupid through the eyes. And especially when the woman used their very, very powerful weapon, when they start to cry. When they start to cry, your heart will melt. So much so that you will agree anything that the woman will say, even if it's against you. You'll be carried away. Is that a fact for the Matajis? Say yes or no?
Yes.
Only one say yes. It's not true for others. So, these bows has some purpose. And Maharaj Agnidra was asking, what is the purpose of this? Is this to attract others or this to kill others? Either or. To attract you or you'll become more mad. You lose your intelligence. So this is Maya. And the whole world is like this. I don't know if that's true for the animals. If they look at the eyebrows of the animals. But sometimes they don't have eyebrows, right? Like a snake. You've seen a snake with an eyebrow? I don't think so. Many of the animals, they don't have eyebrows. Especially the human form of life only. But sometimes also I've seen those are really mad. Sometimes they will shave their eyebrows. I don't know if this is not to attract others or they really become mad. So this is Maya. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya is not the ultimate authority. One time, Srila Prabhupada was once told by one of his disciples, Maya is very powerful, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, but Krishna is more powerful than Maya. In my one kick only, Maya will be finished. This material energy is very difficult to penetrate. Another name for Maya is Durga. We mentioned this one time, Durga. Another meaning of Durga is fort. It's like the kings in the bygone eras. They will construct their kingdom in such a way that it will have at least 2 meters of walls in thickness. They will do this for one purpose only, so that the enemy will not be able to penetrate their kingdom, their fort. They will only do this so that to protect themselves from the enemies. So Maya is like this. Maya is very difficult to overcome. Maya prakriti suyati sacharacharam. This Maya also is coming from Krishna. The living entities is far more superior. It's a superior energy. And Maya is inferior energy. But somehow, we became succumbed by the material energy. How is that? The jivas is spiritual. Material energy is matter. They don't mix together. It's like oil and water. But somehow or other, we come under the jurisdiction of material energy due to our misidentification with the body as the self. So there's only one way. Prabhupada says there's only one way how we can overcome these lusty desires. There's only one way how we can overcome material energy. What is it? Huh? To become Krishna conscious. No other way. It doesn't matter how hard we want to overcome this material energy. On our own? No way. As Maharaj was saying the other day in the class, we need the help of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pray for Him to help us ultimately overcome this material energy. There's no other way. It's like a person who's trying to cross the English Channel, wants to make a record. Huh? Do you think that person is alone, swimming? No, there's persons behind him or her, giving direction. Okay, you're slow now. Okay, I'll give you some ways how to do it. Okay, you go like this, you go like that. Okay, conserve your energy. There's some waves coming. So similarly, we need assistance in this world from a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord, the Spiritual Master. He's the via media whereby we'll be able to get out, becoming captivated again and again, birth after birth, from the illusory energy, the material energy. So, many people, if not 99.99% in this world, in the human form of life, is what you called here as pramata. Pramata means one who cannot control his senses. One who cannot control his senses. Especially, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the tongue. The tongue is the most difficult to curtail. How do you capture a fish? By the hook? Through the tongue. And from the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that there are two functions of the tongue, to vibrate and to taste. So, in order to control our tongue, we have to always be vibrating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Maya may want to enter. She may want to enter into our mind. But we are persevere. If we are determined to keep chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in spite our mind is giving us trouble. The mind is the center of all these senses. The mind always makes plan. The mind always thinks of many, many things which is not necessary for our development of Krishna consciousness. But it can be pacified. It can be pacified only if we taste also and eat Krishna Prasad. Krishna Prasad, tasting Krishna Prasad and always vibrating this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then we can, by the help of the Supreme Lord, through His bona fide representative, either through our Diksha Guru or our Shiksha Gurus, now, Shiksha Guru in our society usually is being mistaken that anyone who tells you some instruction is a Shiksha Guru. to come to the platform of becoming a or being a Siksha Guru, it takes a lot of spiritual advancement. Siksha Guru, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, may become more prominent than one's Diksha Guru. That's why in our disciplic succession, Siksha Guru is more prominent. Not, if you read that disciplic succession written in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, not all of them is through Diksha. Most of it actually is through Siksha. So we should be very careful of this. Of course, we have to somehow or other take gold even in a pile of stool. If it's very helpful for us, take it. It's like in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a chapter there whereby it explains about these different gurus. A prostitute, the wind, you know, it has a lot of descriptions. The wind, the day, the sun, the moon. These are all gurus also. So we should be very, very attentive and very sharp. Because Krishna will send us in many ways how we can become Krishna conscious. Well, we should not think, oh, I only listen to my initiating spiritual master. I will not listen to anyone. And I will not give respect to everybody, just like I give respect to my spiritual master. Of course, our spiritual master, the one who gives us initiation, is very special. Very, very special. But it's not good that we don't give respect to others as well. We should try to understand this and try to understand it more deeply, not just theoretically, as what it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, we can get out of this pramatha condition, being controlled by our senses. We can get out of this enjoying propensity towards the objects of the senses. Because as human beings, we have a primary duty. Our primary duty is not to enjoy materially, but to render loving service towards the divine couple, Sisi Radha Shamas, or Sisi Krishna Balaram, or Sisi Gornitai. That's our primary duty. Every day, as soon as we get up, we should try to think, what will I do today so that I'll be able to please Guru and Krishna? This should be our meditation immediately. What will I do today for enable me to please Guru, Krishna, or the Vaishnavas? Focus, real focus. It's like here in Braj. Have you seen the village girls? They're carrying these pots. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes three. And they will carry them without their hands. And sometimes you will see them talking with each other, joking with each other, as if they're not having this pot on the top of their head. So try to ask them, what is your secret? How are you carrying these pots without the pot being falling down? One of the answers they will say is that when I walk, even while I'm talking to my friend, I always know that I'm carrying the pot. I always know that the pot is there on top of my head. It doesn't matter what we do, whether we're sometimes, you know, they're maybe in a hurry and they'll be like walking very fast. They always remember that the pot is on top of their heads. So similarly, as aspiring devotees, we should be always thinking that our primary duty is to please Guru and Krishna in whatever activities we performed. It doesn't matter what it is, whether we're doing accounting for Krishna, whether we're sweeping the floor, whether we're feeding the cows. Only one purpose. Why am I doing this? To please Guru and Krishna only. Not for my sense enjoyment. Not for my self-adoration. Not for prestige and so on. This topic is about Maya. We can discuss again and again and again. And we didn't even have time to speak on Ramachandra Kaviraj and Gopal Bhatt Goswami. However, Srila Ramachandra Kaviraj is a very, very exalted personality. He was given Kaviraj title by Swami and some of the Vaishnavas here in Vrindavan when Ramachandra Kaviraj came here. He has another brother named Govinda. In the beginning, their father and parents, they left their bodies and they were being taken care of their grandparent, who is a Shakta, who is a devotee of Durga Devi. But somehow or other, he met Ramachandra Kaviraj is a householder Vaishnava of the highest caliber. So, devotees think that the sannyasis and guru are the topmost Vaishnavas. One can be a grihastha as well, and he can be on the same platform as a sannyasi or a spiritual master. So, on the wedding day of Ramachandra Kaviraj, he was passing by in a village near where he's supposed to be staying with his wife, and he saw the beautiful form of Srinivas Acharya. Immediately he was captivated by his beauty. Again, the luster coming from the body, the effulgence coming from Srinivas Acharya. This is usually how you see or you recognize a very elevated devotee, a Vaishnava. His luster, he cannot hide, is very effulgent. It's like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came he accepted the Brahmanas, one of the Brahmanas' invitation in Varanasi. When he offered his obeisances, he washed his feet first, and he offered his obeisances to the Mayavadi sannyasis, and then they recognized that he's not like us. He's very special. His bodily luster is like 1,000 suns rising all at the same time. So similarly, it's like Prabhupada. Anyone who saw Prabhupada, they can see that it's like a molten gold, his body, and it's like so effulgent. Shining. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is the same. Whenever he'll give Harikatha, His body will change to become so effulgent, as if like burning, like red. So when he saw and he asked, who is this person? Who is this Srinivasacharya? And then at the same time, Srinivasacharya had a glance of Ramachandra Kaviraj, and he asked, who is that person again? And so as soon as the Ramachandra Kaviraj and his wife reached the place of the residence, immediately, you know, there's different formalities, especially when there is weddings, it has to be done. Immediately he came back and offered his obeisances to Srinivasacharya. And Srinivasacharya, of course, he offered his obeisances to Srinivasacharya, and immediately also Srinivasacharya lifted him up and says that actually I've been waiting for you as if I have a lost friend that I've seen him again. We've been friends before. Ramachandra Kaviraj is one of the Manjaris also. He is Karuna Manjari. Manjari is in age younger than Sakis, like Lalita or Bisakha. They're younger in age, and in this way they can enter into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord sometimes more than the Sakis because of their innocence. They're closer. Actually, they're closer to Radha and Krishna in that way, that they in these very intimate pastimes they can be there. So Kaviraj means he's a great poet. He's the king. Kavi means poet, and Raj means king. Kaviraj means the king of poets. Because when he composed poems, very clearly describes the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. That Srila Jiva Goswami, who is like the greatest philosopher of all time, gave Ramachandra the title Kaviraj because of his poems. So amazing. So Narottam Das Thakur is his best friend. There's Srinivas Acharya also. His spiritual master is, I am not mistaken. Yeah, this is Srinivas Acharya. So he wrote many, many books, and there is a samadhi of Ramachandra Kaviraj here in Vrindavan. Also today is Abhirbhab. Tirubhab means disappearance, and Abhirbhab means appearance. And Tirubhab and Abhirbhab is the same. Why is it that, you know, we're observing both? But mostly we observe in our tradition, excuse me. In our tradition, we celebrate Tirubhab appearance. Actually, disappearance means they will also appear somewhere else. Because the soul is eternal, only the body is temporary. But the bodies of saintly personalities, they're not considered as material. That's why their body is not burned when they leave the body, when their pastimes is over. In Vrindavan, there's a lot of samadhis of these great, great personalities, these Vaishnava acharyas, and they are considered to be present in their samadhi. Tomb. It's like here we have Srila Madhi Mandir. So Prabhupada is very present here. And we can pray, we can offer puja, we can chant songs, we can we can offer or compose our own prayers, but who are we? We are conditioned souls. So it's better to just repeat. Even on this very day, there is a Samadhi Mandir or Samadhi tomb of Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami behind the temple of Radharaman, Sisi Radharaman. He's the one who he had a desire to worship the Supreme Lord in his Tribhanga form. All the Goswamis, they have their own istadev. They all have their all worshipful deities, and they all can dress them. And so on Nishinga, it's a long story. We don't have time. I'm sure you're all hungry now for Pasad. But to make the story short is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he withdrew his pastimes, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he had a dream of the Supreme Lord. And he says that if you want to see me, if you want to worship me, then you go to Nepal. You go to Nepal. So he went to Nepal, especially in this Kali Gandaki River. Nowadays, many of our ISKCON devotees, they're worshipping Shalagram Shilas, none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went there, took a bath in this Kali Gandaki River, and he has this Kamandalu to take bath. He went deep, his Kamandalu, and many Shalagram Shilas jump in the Kamandalu, in this water pot. And he cannot understand, well, why is this? Well, what's happening? So he put back the Shalagram Shilas. And then he dip again the Kamandalu or the water pot, and somehow 12 Shilas went inside his Kamandalu without him putting with his hand. And he put them down again, and then the third time he dipped again the Kamandalu water pot, and the 12 Shalagram Shilas also went inside. So this must be an indication from the Supreme Lord that he will worship the Shalagram Shilas. So he went back to Vrindavan. And it was Nisinga Chaturdasi. Actually, even before that, there was a big businessman, a Seth, a big businessman who offered him some ornaments and cloth meant to use for dressing Krishna. But says, what is the use of this? I don't have a deity of Krishna. I wish I have a deity of Krishna, so I better give this back to you. But then the Seth, or the businessman, says, no, you have it. You take it. And it was Nisinga Chaturdasi. Nisinga Chaturdasi that he had a dream again, and he asked the Supreme Lord that only by your potency, I have a wish and a desire to worship you in your transcendental form, Banga, three-bending form. That it's only you who will be able to actually give me this deity. Or you're the only one who will be able to give yourself to me. So in this way, the next day is Panchami, of course, right? And usually every day or every night when he will put the Shalagram Shilas to rest, he will put a basket. But he was amazed when he opened the next day and he saw one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, became Krishna, 6 inches long, and he's the most beautiful deity of all the three worlds. The 11 Shalagram Shila is still there, but one Shila, that Damodar Shila, turned into Krishna. And the news spread all over Braj. The six Goswamis or the five other Goswamis, they were running to have darshan of the Supreme Lord. So much so that when they have darshan of the Supreme Lord, tears from their eyes incessantly, and these tears gave the first abhishek to Raman. Of course, we called Radha Raman. There is no Radharani in a personal form. That Radharani is being worshipped in that temple, Radharaman temple, as a crown just besides Lord Krishna, silver crown. So his wish became fulfilled. There's so many things we can say more about, but this is like about Radharaman, because Srila Prabhupada told us also that if we want to worship the Supreme Lord in his archa-vigraha form, then we should learn from the Goswamis of Radharaman. And during that day, inaugurating the abhishek of the form, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, there's at least 500 liters of milk that they use. Hopefully they're all cow's milk. To get cow's milk that much in Vrindavan is a lot. Maybe it's mixed or whatever, but they still do it in these days. And some scientists, they were like very, very curious whether this deity of the Supreme Lord is actually a self-manifest deity that under the supervision of the Shevaks or the worshippers of Radharaman, they did some investigation to check. At the back of Radharaman, there is a chakra. Usually, Shilas, they have chakras. This is the sign. So they wanted to see the full body of the Supreme Lord, and nothing they can see that actual form of the Lord has been curved by an instrument or a tool. And Krishna, you can see his teeth. Yeah, when you come really closer to Krishna, you can see his teeth coming out, and also his fingernails. And there is no instrument that can curve exactly or perfectly the way Radharaman is. One time, there was a pujari's son. So he was playing with the deity, and he put grass straw in one ear, and it came out of the other ear. And some blood came out, man. And also, that boy unfortunately died of vomiting blood. This is how the deity is very, very real. Non-difference between our Radhasham, Krishna Balaram, and Gornitai. Very powerful. So we will have many, many things to say about this, but I think our stomach is growling now, asking for, where is the prasad? Where is the prasad? Where is the prasad? But this is real prasad. If you have the eagerness, one's advancement in Krishna consciousness can be tested how much one is eager to hear Harikatha. That Parikshit Maharaj didn't eat for 7 days. Now, I don't think we can do that, not to eat even for 1 day. Maybe when it's near Jal. But 2 days, 3 days, 7 days. This is real nectar. Food for the soul. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we'll stop here. Thank you for your kind attention. Ramachandra Kaviraj ki. Gopal Bhatt Goswami ki. Maharaj Agnidra ki. Jai also. Anyone who's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're not ordinary souls. They're there to teach us a lesson. Hare Krishna.